Welcome to Financial Freedom, God's Way. This is where you will learn to identify, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? First, on our radio seminar, I know that you know that God's Word is important. It is important to you, and it's important to others. However, the question has to come, what others are we talking about? With whom can you prayerfully consider sharing some or all of what the Holy Spirit is teaching you about what God has to say about money? I honestly believe that it is part of my job to help you see and consider three underserved groups of people within the body of Christ who can really use your help. What are these three underserved groups of Christians? They are our single parents, children, and then, of course, our senior citizens. For the next several weeks, we're going to see what the Lord has to say about our responsibilities to help meet the needs of each one of these underserved groups within the body of Christ. This week, we're going to start by taking a look at the needs of our single parents and what we can do to help meet their needs. Next, our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard is going to give us his opinion whether or not Amazon Prime is worth the $139 annual cost. That ought to be good. Finally, Christian author and speaker, teacher, trainer, and coach John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word confidence. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together with the Lord. You're not going to want to miss. And let's start by making sure that He is the one that's driving this time together. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for meeting with us and teaching us and challenging us today. Will You please give us ears to hear and the faith to put into practice all that it is that You have planned for us today, to Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we kick off our radio seminar time together today, again, I want you to recall that God gives you His word for, well, He gives you His word for a really good reason. And actually, well, He gives you His word for two really good reasons, right? Do you remember what they are? First of all, He expects you to get what He has to say to you. Listen prayerfully. He expects you to get what He has to say to you up and operating in your life. You're to look for and to put into practice some personal applications. But then secondly, He expects you to allow His word to flow through you to be a blessing to others. So His word is important. It's important to you. It's important to others. But again, the question has to become, what others are we talking about here? For example, with whom can you prayerfully consider sharing maybe some of what the Lord is teaching you about how to handle the material areas of your life? And who are those others? Well, now listen, if you have already asked God that question, then I know that God has already laid some other needs on your heart. I know that He's already done that. But whether you have asked Him or not, I honestly believe that the Lord wants you to see and consider three underserved groups of people within the body of Christ that can really use your help in this area. And as a matter of fact, my guess is that these same three underserved groups of folks are some of the very folks that you are going to find in your church and in your own Christian community. Now, what are these three underserved groups of Christians? Again, they are our single parents, our children, and of course, our senior citizens. Now, the Lord is going to talk to us about each one of the needs of these three groups in the weeks to come, the responsibility the church has, Christian community has to help meet those needs, and then also the responsibility that each group has in order to receive the help they need. That's where we're going to be going for the next couple of weeks. And we're going to be starting, this week, we're going to be starting with the singles in the body of Christ. Now, why would that be? Why would we want to start with the singles? Well, I got to tell you, because in all of the counseling and coaching that our ministry has had the privilege to be part of for the last 33 some odd years or so, you know, working with Larry Burkett and Crown Ministry, Dave Ramsey, and a whole lot of others, some of the greatest needs that we have seen have been in the lives of singles. And I'm talking about singles of all ages. However, the greatest need that we have found are in the lives of single parents, particularly single moms, okay? So let's talk a little bit about single moms. And by the way, let's first set just a bit of background. For example, did you realize that as of 2021, there were 11 million single parent families in the United States? 11 million. And 80% of those households were headed by single moms. Now, also, the median income for a single mom in our area is right about $28,000 a year compared to the median income of a two-parent household, which is about $58,000 a year. Now, just a little bit of information here. I'm, in case you forgot, the median, well, that is the middle number. Now, that in this example, that is to say that there were just as many single moms who made more than $28,000 a year as there were moms who made less than $28,000 a year. The median is the middle number. Okay? Now, a little bit more background. Do you happen to know that the federal poverty level in our area today is right about $33,000 a year? Now that, my friend, is only $2,700 a month before taxes. So what we find is that estimates show that the median income for a single mom is below the federal poverty level. And what this means is that on average, the single mom is trying to live. Listen, she is trying to eke out a living while operating below the federal poverty level. So it doesn't take a whole lot to see begin to see what the problem is, right? I mean, here's a woman with dependent children making about half as much as the median family. Now, given the single mom's lack of financial resources, you can bet single moms have a whole bunch of needs, right? Sure they do. A whole bunch. Now, what are some of the top needs most single moms have? Well, what I want to do, I'm going to share with you just three of them right here, right now. Okay, three of them. What are the top three needs single moms have in general? Right off the bat, the first has got to be childcare. Now, I don't know what it costs for childcare where you live in your neighborhood on your block in your community, but I got to tell you, on average, childcare expenses for our local families can be as much as $637 a month per child. And what that does is that makes childcare one of the biggest expenses the single mom has. And as a matter of fact, some data shows that monthly childcare expenses for a single mom can be more than in-state tuition for a four-year public college. Oh my goodness. So this single mom family can spend $637 a month per child if she can find a quality caregiver. And if she cannot find a quality caregiver, or if she can't afford a quality caregiver, then what she is going to have is either a latchkey kid, or she is going to have well-intended grandparents or neighbors or maybe even government-sponsored daycare centers helping to take care of and raise her children. Now I'm telling you, being a single parent is a hard row to hoe. So what is just one thing, just one of the top things a single mom needs? Listen, she needs some child care help. Then the single mom also needs some, and I think this makes sense. I think we realize this if we were to stop and think about it. The single mom also needs help with some of the maintenance around the house, around the car, right? I mean, single women generally do not have little, if any, training, much less the time to do that kind of work themselves. So basic maintenance is a big problem. And single moms also need emotional counsel and emotional support. Yes, they do. And listen, they need this counsel and support. Listen, they need this counsel and support from both other singles. I mean, yes, it's great. It's marvelous to have a singles ministry run and for and by singles. Now, that's true. But singles need counsel and support from married people as well. You see, my friend, you see what happens. Many times, a man is going to divorce his wife and marry a younger woman. And as a result, what you're going to find many times is a middle-aged woman with dependent children. Now, she is single, but she does not fit in anywhere. Listen, she doesn't fit in with the average singles group, you know, the college and career crowd. She's not going to fit in there. And she doesn't fit in with the married group any longer. I mean, not anymore. Now you have to know that most of her friends, listen, who are going to be most of the single mom's friends? Who would most of her friends be? Well, sure, they're going to be the friends that she had when she was married, right? Now, however, the fact is that married couples, listen, married couples simply don't ask divorced women over for dinner very often. And therefore, the single woman is, and she is going to remain, very, very isolated. And do you know what happens so many times? Well, so many times, many of these now single moms and their children, these single moms and their children simply tend to drop out of the church. What a shame. So yes, single moms, listen, the single moms in your church and the single moms in our community have some very, very definite needs. And those needs include things like help with their child care, help with some basic maintenance for the homes and the cars, as well as the need for emotional counsel and support for themselves and, listen, for themselves and for their children. Yeah, single moms in your church and single moms in our community have some very, very real needs. Now, that being the case, and it is the case, that being the case, according to the Bible, your church has some responsibilities to help meet some of those needs. And what can they do? What can and should your church do? Well, very simply, the answer is get involved and stay involved. And what can this involvement look like? Well, let me share with you some experiences, okay, that we've had over the years. Let me share with you just some of what I have seen God's people do to help meet the needs of the single moms and the children within the Christian community. Now, first of all, and there's a list of them here. I'll run through them quickly for you, but I think you'll get the big picture. Your church can offer counseling and coaching. Listen, both personal, spiritual, and personal financial coaching and counseling would be a big help. That'd be one thing you could do. Now, secondly, your church needs to prepare and provide direct financial support every now and again, right? Every now and again. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, I would suggest that one of the best ways would be to set up a benevolence fund, a special benevolence fund, particularly for single moms, for your singles. Now, this benevolence fund, well, it should be geared to initially, we would suggest initially help meet the immediate short-term needs of your single moms, okay? And then as your ministry experience grows and maybe as more and more resources become available, as time goes on, then maybe you can consider helping to meet longer-term needs. However, at the start, I would suggest sticking with helping to meet the immediate, the short term needs within your church, okay? But whatever, short term or long term, I really believe that with a rare exception, you and your church should provide the resources that are needed, that you should not give cash for the single to buy the resources that are needed. Does that make sense? I mean, for example, your church could send the check. The church could send the check to the mortgage company. Or the church could have someone go with a single mom to buy gasoline and food and clothing and school supplies. You see, the general rule is to provide the service, not the cash, okay? And it would be well for your benevolence fund to be administered by a benevolence committee, you know, a group, a committee to be set up to include, listen, to include at least 3 members, each with different spiritual gifts. Different spiritual gifts. For example, one of the members of your benevolence committee should have the spiritual gift of mercy. I mean, that person is going to feel sorry for everybody who comes in the door. Now, another one of your benevolence committee members, well, they would need to have the spiritual gifts of helps. They're going to want to help everybody who comes through the door. And the third, well, listen, at least one member ought to have the gift of administration to keep the first two straight. You get my picture here? Now, the problem is that in most churches, who do you think is the only member on the benevolence committee? Yep, you guessed it. I would suggest to you that in most churches, not in all, but in quite a few churches, particularly in the smaller churches, the only member of the benevolence committee is going to be the pastor. Now, I have to ask you, how many of the local pastors of small churches have the time to exercise the gifts of administration when it comes to benevolence? And I would suggest not many. You see, a whole lot of times we force our pastors to work outside their gifts and outside their abilities. And this being the case, well, a case can be made that the pastor ought not be, oh my goodness, or even be a member of the benevolence committee. Now, these are some thoughts that I'm just sharing with you that we picked up from Larry Burkett, Dave Ramsey, and others as well. So these are some well-researched thoughts and suggestions that I'm presenting here, okay? So, singles need their church to provide personal and financial coaching and some benevolence support, okay? Now, what else can you and your church do? Well, I got to suggest you can do a couple of more things. For example, you can help organize help groups to help care for the home and the car maintenance issues that the single moms, singles have. For example, I know that a lot of churches get some men and women together in the church, and they get together every now and again on a regular basis, maybe once, maybe twice a month, okay? And they offer, for example, free car care clinics for single parents. And what happens is the singles bring in their cars, and the folks at the church, they're going to do things like rotate the tires and change the oil, check the fluids, replace the burnt out light bulbs, that kind of thing. And by the way, these same types of groups can go out and help with some basic home maintenance issues as well. Okay? Now, what else can you do? Well, you can for sure help with child care. Oh my goodness. For example, I know some churches that have their single parents come in for financial coaching, okay? And then that same church will provide child care for whatever it is the single can afford based on their budget. Whether that child care comes from inside the church or outside the church's policy is, listen, whatever you can afford by your budget is what it's going to cost you. And the church is going to pick up the difference. Great, great program. And maybe you and your church can arrange to provide a biblical father image for the children of your single moms. For example, some of the churches that we've worked with they've had father-son days out. But the kicker is, if you're a dad, you cannot take your own son. Listen, you have to take somebody else's son. You have to take a single mom's son. Only, listen to this, only before you can spend the day with a child who is not your own, your own child needs to sit with a pastor and agree that their dad has that child's permission to go spend the day with another child. Oh my goodness. Wow, does that speak to the quality of the father-son relationship within the church? You bet it does. And again, I've got to encourage you, don't give money, give help, okay? But what you need to do is to be able to give them the help that they need. Provide the services so that you and your church don't become part of the problem. You become part of the solution, not part of the problem, okay? So single moms have some needs. Yes, they do. And your church, well, you and your church have some responsibilities to help meet those needs. Absolutely, you do. But listen, so also do single moms have some responsibilities? Let's take a look. First of all, single moms should be involved with the church, both in receiving and in giving. You see, what you need to do is to be able to give the single mom a chance to reciprocate. Now, true, her resources, they're going to be very, very limited. That's correct, particularly with her time and with her money. But given good support from the church, single moms can be really creative and they can be really productive. For example, I've seen some churches where single moms help out by preparing some baked goods for some of the church activities and meetings. You see, they can do the baking with supplies provided by the church. Single moms may also be able to do things to help out in the nursery or perhaps help out when it comes to visiting shut-ins. And listen, single moms must also learn, listen to me here, they must learn to live a very disciplined lifestyle, not only to survive economically, but also to survive socially. And also, if a single mom turns to the church for help, she should expect to submit to the church spiritual and financial discipline to include willingly taking part in financial and parenting classes, you know, in the seminars and the workshops and all those kinds of things. But of all of that, most importantly, I got to believe most importantly, over years of experience, what we found is that most importantly, single moms must learn very quickly to shed their pride so that they can share their needs. Now, having just said that, I got to admit that sharing your needs is a hard thing to do, even if you're not a single mom. Am I right? For example, I don't know about you, but I know in my life, I would much rather offer to help somebody else in need rather than admit that I have a need myself, right? Ooh, ouch. A little bit of pride there. But you know, it's the same way with singles. Singles is particularly single moms. They have a right to expect that the body of Christ in which they worship is going to help meet their needs. But remember, the Lord said that he would tear down the house of the proud. Right? Tear down the house of the proud. So what does this mean? Well, unless our single moms are willing to go before the church and say something like, "Hey, church, I need some help." Unless they are willing to do that, your single moms are not likely to get the help they need, and both your church and the single moms and their families are going to suffer the consequences. All right. So there you have it. The first of the three likely underserved groups of folks within your church was going to happen to be the single parents in your church, particularly the single moms. And by the way, single dads, you have seen their needs. Some of the things you and other like-minded folks can do to help meet those needs, and you have also seen some of the responsibilities that single have in order to receive the help that they need. My friend, listen, if you didn't already know, and I think you probably do, recognizing and meeting the needs of the likely underserved members of your church and community is a critically important topic. And it's going to, listen, it deserves a whole lot more time and attention than we have to be able to give it here today. I can only pray that God will touch your heart and help you see the needs that single moms and their children have and some ways that you can get involved and help meet some of those needs. The Lord he's led us to consider singles this week. Now, next week, he's going to talk with us about seeing and helping meet the needs of the children in our church and in our community. All right? Now, one last thing as we close out the seminar time together. And I know that this is a lot of information, fast and furious today. Not likely that you're going to be able to take notes, but what you can do is re-listen to this program by going to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. Now, let me ask you, are you an Amazon Prime subscriber? Well, if so, you already know that it's going to cost you $139 a year for that subscription. Now, that's a lot of money. So the question has got to be, is the cost worth the benefit? Well, our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard tells us that in most cases, probably yes. Okay? As a matter of fact, what he calculates is if you shop online at least twice a month, then Amazon Prime is going to pay for itself in shipping alone over the course of a year. And then in addition to free shipping, of course, you also get things like, oh, access to unlimited video streaming and music streaming and, reading and photo storage, prescription savings, grocery delivery, and a whole lot of other things as well. So for most people, most of the time, yes, according to Clark, it's going to be worth it. But on the other hand, Clark says that it may not be worth it if you do not frequently shop online or if you already pay for other music or video streaming services, okay? So, yes, in some cases, no, in some cases, how do you know if it's right for you? You just have to weigh out your budget. Now, if you don't subscribe to Prime and you're thinking about it, don't subscribe without checking out their free trial service, all right? Free trial, check it out. Thank you, Clark Howard. Right. Now it's time to hear from highly celebrated Christian author and speaker and teacher, trainer, coach, John Maxwell, as he shares with us his thoughts on the word intentionality.
Mallory, who is a team member from Baltimore, Maryland, wants me to talk today on Minute with Maxwell on the subject of intentionality. It's a great word. In fact, it's one of my very favorite words because I think to live an intentional life is one of the greatest ways to improve your life quickly and effectively. In fact, I wrote a book entitled Intentional Living, and it's a book that's changed literally hundreds of thousands of people's lives. Basically, an intentional life means that I take my good intentions and I turn them into good actions. I take what I was thinking about and I start doing it. And nothing happens until we become intentional in life. Intentionality is almost like a bridge that we cross over from where we are to where we want to go. Sadly, most people, they don't lead their life. They're not intentional. They accept their life. And when you and I accept our life, we don't get the best. We get what's left over. So today I would encourage you to look at your day, where you're going, who you're going to be with, what you're going to be doing, and say, I'm going to add a lot more intentionality in my relationships today and in my work today. And trust me, if you do that, your day is going to be a better day. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow. Thank you, John. What a good word. Thank you for encouraging us to take our good intentions and turn them into good actions. Thank you, John Maxwell. And with that, well, that just about wraps up our time together today. But listen, before we close, I have something important I want to share with you, okay? As you know, the Lord is building Christian Financial Ministries in our area with a group of volunteers who have a heart to give back into the community by way of service to the community. And right now, we are asking the Lord to bring us a volunteer administrative assistant. So if you live in the Hiawassee, Young Harris, or Hayesville area, if you have a couple of hours available each week that you can serve from your home office as mutually dates and times as mutually agreed, and you would like to learn a little bit about what is required as a ministry administrative assistant, well, then what I'm asking you to do is to please give me a call at 678-386-2640. That's 678-386-2640. I'd love to talk with you about being our administrative assistant. Now, finally, let's close as we opened, and that is with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.